You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, according to Taylor Cover, who is a certified financial planner and CEO of Cover Wealth Management in Lufkin in Texas, he says, they say generational wealth is about more than just financial resources. Generational wealth is more than about just financial resources. Its value extends beyond the monetary aspect. It's also about imparting enduring family values and wisdom, creating a legacy that benefits and shapes the lives of a future generation. That's what Taylor Cover says of Cover Wealth Management. And that's an interesting thought, which leads us into our conversation this evening with Floyd, who is joining us on the line to have this conversation. Good evening, Floyd.
Good evening, Tapelo. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. Good evening to your listeners as well.
Indeed. I hope you're not tired of these Happy New Year things.
No, so far I'm still welcoming all the compliments, statements and so forth. So no, so far so good.
Happy New Year to you too. I hope that it becomes a great one and may God continue to bless you. So Happy New Year to you. I wish all the best for you this year.
No, thank you so much. All the best to you as well, sir.
Yeah, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. How was your day?
No, it was a good start to the week after a very relaxed weekend. It's always a bit of a shock to the system to kind of find yourself back on Monday.
Yeah.
But no, I think it was quite productive.
Yeah, I do think, and I always argue that Monday has got a life of its own. It's in the sound, it's in the air, it's in everything. The moment you wake up in the morning, you can tell it's Monday. And it's almost like your body is like, oh, Monday again. So it's always a shock. I agree with you 100% on that one. For those of our listeners who may have missed some of our episodes with you last year, want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, sure. So I'm an accountant by training and worked in the world of finance and accounting for many years in the corporate space.
Yeah.
Over the years, I've migrated a little bit away from finance to the point where I'm working more in business strategy and planning.
Mm-hmm.
But I also run a corporate training business that focuses on giving training on various topics and soft skills, including financial planning and financial well-being, which is the topic that I often like to speak about on this platform.
Indeed. Fantastic. Once again, we really appreciate your time and sharing with us this evening. I had a quote earlier on when we started the show, Floyd, from T. Hav Eker. And T. Hav Eker says that it's simple arithmetic. Your income can grow only to the extent that you do. Thoughts on that?
That is very true. Mm. I think as you develop yourself and grow yourself in the sense of you develop your skills, your abilities, and your ability to add value, that creates a natural opportunity for your income generation to improve as well. So I would agree with that statement.
Fantastic. You know, just as a sidebar on this thing of creating value, I always find it that it creates a lot of, I suppose, imposter syndrome and all the stuff, because we know when you sit in the meeting and you're wondering yourself, what value am I bringing to this meeting? Because there's this thing of value that's being punted. Is there a context to it, hey?
I think there is, I think often we don't understand what it means to actually create value, and often then pile a lot of pressure on ourselves either to go above and beyond our normal capabilities. Mm. But I try and often keep it simple for myself by simply saying, creating value is simply making a contribution that takes things forward. And it's not always about doing game-changing things or changing the world or transforming businesses or revolutionizing processes or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it's simply being able to take the time to listen, take the time to understand, apply your mind, and make a contribution that takes things forward rather than taking things backward. And I think if you simply contribute towards the process of taking things forward, you are creating value.
Yeah, I love that. In fact, for me, it just gives me comfort. You know, you're sitting in this meeting, so I'm like, yo, what value am I bringing? But sometimes, like you're saying, it's not always about putting pressure on yourself and having the need to say something that may sound very intelligent or whatever the case. But just listening and wondering, okay, so this is what we want to do. How can I operationalize that or add value from that type of, you know, point of view? Because when you sit there and you hear this nice big English that's being spoken, you always wonder, yo, they are talking about strategy. And you're like, ooh, what does this thing even look like? That strategy and all those sort of stuff. So creating value, and I love the idea of creating value as opposed to adding value, because maybe that's where the other problem is. We want to add instead of just carving for ourselves what value we can bring to the so-called proverbial table, as it were, and maybe even in our income generation, you know, prospects and all that. But let's get into this one. We're talking generational wealth, and that's perhaps a concept that might be very difficult for some people, or maybe it might be easy for some people depending on their context and all that. But let's start here. What is this generational wealth that we hear almost being punted everywhere?
So generational wealth, I think in my mind, the simplest definition is the accumulation of assets or resources or wealth, I guess, to take the term itself, to the point that you can pass it down through the next generation and perhaps beyond that. So ensuring that you not only have generated enough wealth for yourself as you live today with your family today, but ensuring that you also leave behind enough for the next few generations to come.
Two things there.
It requires...
Yeah?
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you can go ahead.
I was going to say it's really very much a long-term view to wealth.
I was about to say that very thought, because that's exactly what I'm getting as well from that definition, which I really love, by the way, the accumulation of assets, because I do think that unlocks a lot of generational wealth creation, you know, when you can focus on assets as opposed to expenditure, liabilities and all those sort of stuff. And I always like the idea of taking corporate concepts, you know, corporate finance concepts into personal finance, and because I think there's overlap somewhere. But isn't that placing a huge burden on me if I need to think about what am I going to leave for the next generation? And also, does it not necessarily stop me from enjoying life, as young people would say?
No, not really. And I think when people hear terms like generational wealth, the assumption is that it is much more complicated.
Yes.
And it's a very complicated concept where you need to, you know, be a multimillionaire investor and so forth. But actually, it is simply about planning ahead for the future, not only for now. And I think particularly for those with families, you already have started the process of creating the next generation. And it's just as important for you not only to plan for their well-being while you are around, but also, you know, as life inevitably goes, eventually you may not be here in the long term. What plans are you putting in place to ensure that they are covered in the future as well? So, and there's several, you know, quite simple concepts which we can apply in real life, practical things we can do to allow us to do that.
But Floyd, let's be honest, boring thing. Who really wants to talk about the next generation and what I need to do now when I have the pressure of social media and the pressure of living life, as it were, with my friends who want to go on that beautiful vacation and whatever else in the rest of the world. And now I'm wondering, oh, this thing is so boring, because it feels like I'm just pinching myself throughout life.
I guess It just depends on how people look at the future. But the reality of it is, if you look at your own financial circumstances and you think about how you could have benefited from generational wealth had perhaps our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents been able to provide for us in that way, then perhaps it changes your perspective on how you should prepare for the generations to come after you. And I often give the example to say, you know, in certain parts of the world, you see the clear advantage. In fact, even here in South Africa, you do see the advantage of people whose parents, great grandparents, and great grandparents were able to achieve a certain level of financial success so that they could leave something for the next generation.
What
we often find is that those people today, they may be your peers in terms of age and work in similar organizations as you do. But they have been given a head start in life, the ability to have certain things taken care of, like their funding for school, the ability to have certain assets such as a home that has already been bought for them by, you know, trust funds or through grandparents or whatever it may be. And the ability to have those things, that those assets and that wealth, which was provided to them through the long-term planning of someone two or three generations before, simply gives them a head start in life.
Sure.
So in my view, I say, when I reflect on it and I say, oof, if only I had that long-term benefit myself, I would also be in a much better position. And how I think it would be great if I could give that advantage to my children and to their children's children as well, which is why I think at some point when you take a step back to think about it, generational wealth definitely is something that is, you know, it seems like a boring concept, but very important once you think about the benefit in life.
Yeah. Someone once said that, you know, trust fund babies are born retired. I thought, what a thought. You know, from the moment they are born, they don't need to work. They are retired already because, like you're saying, if you think about how, if you were in that place, you would have generated from someone who thought about two, three generations later, a couple of generations earlier from your lifetime. So the thought of being born retired because of the trust funds that someone decided to actually be a little bit more prudent is a sobering thought. Christians believe that money is the root of all evil, or at least the love of money leads to all kinds of evil. That's what Christians say. Should we even be discussing this on a Christian radio station, the issue of generational wealth?
Absolutely, I think we should. I think one concept that you find quite common in the Bible is the concept of birthrights and inheritance.
And
I think when you look at the concept of generational wealth, it
doesn't stray too far away from the concept of generational wealth. These are things that have been practiced in other cultures, including the cultures that have taught us about who Christ was and about who God is. I think when we emulate some of the lifestyle aspects of that, we do see that even Abraham himself, you know, Isaac and Jacob, all of them practiced a form of generational wealth. And all of them, you know, also just broadly practiced good financial management, good stewardship, to the point that they were wealthy. And also always took the time to return offerings and sacrifices to God as well. So I think as Christians, there's a lot that we can learn about how to manage our finances, including this concept of generational wealth. From scripture as well. So definitely not a foreign concept or one we should be afraid of as Christians.
You inadvertently actually gave a business case for this show to still exist there. Like, hey, we need to talk about these things because they're also very important. So big ups to you. Thank you. You've just kept me on my job.
Financial management and good stewardship are part of the gospel.
I love that. I love that. Right? They are part of the gospel, which is very important. But you've got an ordinary family there, Floyd, and you know, perhaps just living ordinarily, and this concept perhaps flies through, you know, their head. And is that even important for me? How relevant is this topic to me, just as an ordinary person, or sometimes straddling through life ordinarily?
So quite important in the fact that even though we talk about generational wealth and terms like that to make ourselves think of the long-distant future, or that's what tends to come to mind, the reality of it is that you may need generational wealth to kick in tomorrow. And what do I mean by that? Tomorrow is not promised. In as much as we thank God for each and every day, we do not know what the future holds. And If you are not there to provide for your family tomorrow, God forbid something happens, what have you put in place to make sure that they are okay? And there are some measures that you can put in place to make sure that they not only somehow barely manage to pay for your funeral, but that they're even taken care of from a financial perspective. Work from that's why, you know, even us with our small families and so forth, with a single income or maybe not making a lot of money or being, you know, wealthy, need to think about these concepts of generational wealth.
That's an interesting thought there, especially because, like you're saying, you never know where tomorrow might take you. Your kids might need that a little bit of a boost from you, especially when you're no longer around, and it's a sobering thought. What are some of those ways then? I suppose, is there a blueprint or white paper, as it were, on how we can start creating generational wealth?
Yeah, I think there's several things that we could do.
Yeah.
And I talk about these concepts to people at every level in life.
Yeah.
Whether you are just starting off working or perhaps you've just started your family and you're beginning to have a slightly more long-term perspective to your kids, your wife, or your partner or your husband, or people who've been around for longer, have been working for longer, have accumulated certain things as well. I think there are a few basics that you can do, and perhaps I can share two or three quick tips. I think the first one is simply, think about the future.
Okay.
Have a long-term perspective to what you do with your money. And I guess the simple way of saying that is simply plan ahead and don't be someone who is quick to simply live for the moment. Many times we make a bit of money, we earn a bonus, we get an increase. And the first thing we do is, how can I give myself happiness?
Yeah.
And how can I take care of my needs for today?
Yeah.
Yet the reality of it is that instant gratification often blinds us from seeing the responsibilities of the future. So it's very important to adopt a long-term view to managing your finances, to building wealth. Don't only save or manage your finances for your priorities today. Also think about, what do I need to do to survive for the future, but also how can I ensure that my family is taken care of for the foreseeable future, whether or not I'm here. And I guess the follow-up to that concept of having a long-term perspective simply then says, begin to invest your finances wisely.
Yeah.
For you to be wealthy enough to leave something for your loved ones and for future generations, it means that you need to be able to manage your finances well today. So invest wisely, educate yourself about finances, understand principles that relate to good financial management, expense and savings and so forth, so that as you accumulate wealth today, you then have something that you can put aside for the foreseeable future. I think the first one is just start thinking about the future, have a long-term perspective. The second one is educate yourself so that you can invest wisely. But I guess the last one, which is I think the very practical one, is picture a world where you are not there to provide.
Sure.
And I know it's a sobering one for us to be talking about this early in the year. But, if something were to happen to you today and you needed to, and your family needed to survive, have you done enough to ensure that they are able to? Now, there are some things that can allow you to leave, some wealth or a good inheritance for your family, even though you might not be wealthy today. And I'm talking about things like estate planning and life insurance and things like that.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a millionaire to leave R1 million for your children if you're not here.
Yeah.
It could simply be 200 or 300 rand a month, depending on who you are.
Yeah.
And simply thinking about those things is quite important. So having a will in place is part of generational planning and creating generational wealth.
Yeah.
Having life insurance also helps with that. Making sure that the wills and the trusts and some of those tools to allocate those funds that you leave behind is also important, because some people leave a lot of money behind in life insurance, but because they haven't put in place the right tools and mechanisms to distribute to the next generation, they find themselves stuck. So I think actively planning for a future where you are not there is just as important.
I suppose that comment there that you're making there triggered a thought one of our listeners, Sunny, saying, ha, they must see to finish. Like we all came here, Sonke, we must see to finish there. Any thought on that comment, in fact, I suppose linking to the point that you're just making now?
Sorry, just repeat the point again.
So the listener is saying, ha, they must see to finish, you know. I suppose that thing of thinking for generation, I think about picturing a world where you cannot provide anymore. So Usane, one of us saying, ha, they must see to finish themselves. Any thoughts there?
to see to themselves when you're not there.
Yeah, they must see to finish. I mean, they didn't come with me in this world.
No, well, look, the reality of it is some people have that perspective.
Yeah.
And I guess depending on, you know, your beliefs or your background, it is understandable. But I think, again, I always put myself in the position of what I'm trying to create. Mm-hmm. And I say, again, if someone had educated my or informed my great grandparents of the hardships and the challenges that I might be facing today. And they said, no, for my great grandchildren, I'm putting these three cows away. And those three cows became 8, became 10, became 50, became 100. By the time I'm here in life, I have something that I can access to make my life easier and to do the same for others. And I guess that's the lesson that I like to pass on to people, to say, If you can't see the application for yourself, think about how different your life would have been if people had made these plans for you.
Yeah.
Then simply say, would you not want to give your children and your loved ones that same advantage as well?
Yeah. I suppose I get where Usane is going with that, because maybe it's framed by your own context, right? Because you do find people who are not Christian, who don't think about it in that manner, who feel like, hey, umasbona sonke, we all came to this world, and so you must decide on your own. And I think that's the proliferation that you find quite a lot in the generation that we're living in, perhaps for whatever good reason. But for us as Christians, which I think is what Usane is underscoring, we need to think about that and find ways to think beyond just satisfying, like you said, gratification right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a element of being giving, being compassionate, being caring, that we need to extend not only to ourselves and around us, but in the future. I think, remember, the ultimate generational wealth that we have is the one that God has put in place for
us.
Where God himself has gone to say, don't worry about your future.
Yeah.
I have made plans for you.
Yeah.
I've gone to prepare place for you, and if you remain faithful, you will join me in that kingdom.
Yeah.
And I think, again, the Bible has so many little examples that we can emulate from, which say, think about your future. In fact, a lot of the Bible is just about preparing for your future. And I think as we do that, this is one of the things that we can take some lessons from.
Yeah. What can derail us there, Floyd? What can derail my thoughts, my efforts? Because listening to you, it's almost like one would be saying, I'm very much, you know, charged now. It's the beginning of the year. If my 300 rands that I normally take through coffee or buying some other shoe or whatever, and I put it away, I can generally make some money over time, and maybe I might just be a millionaire. So what can derail me? Friends, family, habits, what can be in the way?
So actually, you've just mentioned it right there. It's actually habits.
Yeah.
When you have habits that don't allow you to manage your finances well, you can find yourself in a position where you are struggling to create not only wealth for yourself, but wealth for future generations. And I'll give a simple example.
Yeah.
If you don't budget, and you simply burn through all of the money that you have as it comes in. Literally money in, money out through impulsive financial decisions, you'll find that your ability to become disciplined enough to plan for the future is greatly compromised. And when I say for the future, it simply means you can't plan for your own retirement. You can't plan for your future goals. And therefore, if you can't even plan for yourself, there's no way you will be able to plan for the next generation. Another example is simply things like having lots and lots of debt. So if you have excessive debt levels and you find that you owe multiple credit cards, you have cars you can't afford, you're barely getting by on your income today. Yes, some of them may have some mechanisms to help cover you in the event that you are not there. But what happens if, for example, you pass away and you simply pass that debt on to your family? You are not giving your next generation a good starting point from a financial perspective. They start off by having to pay off all your debts when you're gone. They start off by having to dig themselves out of a hole rather than having an even playing field as well. And I guess the last one is just, you know, not having a plan in place around these things. I spoke earlier about having a will, having estate plan, stuff like that. One of the biggest challenges in our society today is, you know, when people pass away, there's no plan in place to distribute wealth, to distribute assets. And as a result of that, friends take advantage, family members take advantage, the government takes advantage, and before you know it, there's nothing left for the next generation. So I think simply ensuring that you put in place some plans helps ensure that you're not derailed by some of the confusion that can arise when you don't have those things in place.
Sure. You know, Floyd, you've just challenged us, because just thinking about the next 3, 4, 5 years is the hardest thing to do. Thinking about 10 years is probably almost stretching one's brain. And thinking about generations is almost like catastrophic for a lot of us, because our brains just don't go as far as that in terms of planning, thinking, what is it that I need to do right now? And sounds like you've got a plan there around the budget. Do I just start with even just putting a budget? Where do I start? Where do I go? Maybe before I even think about my children's children.
So it really just begins with you building the right habits and creating and the right level of financial discipline for yourself. I think when you start off by simply saying, I want to manage my money better for today as a starting point, do you have a budget? Are you putting a little bit aside for savings? Are you investing some of that money so that it can grow? Are you cutting on unnecessary expenses? All of those basic financial principles are the starting point. Building good financial habits is that first starting point. But once you've gotten through that first step, it is then saying, okay, now how do I start thinking about not only my future, but about the next generation? And I think this really applies more to people who have families. You know, you are now married, or you have a long-term partner, or you have a child. I think that's where things like this really...
Have we lost him? Let me see. It looks like we've lost Floyd just at the end of this conversation. Let's see if we can get him back there. So such really interesting thoughts that he was sharing. Sorry there, Floyd. I don't know what happened. You were on that point.
Yeah. So I think I was saying, once you start thinking about your loved ones, your family, your spouse, and so forth for the future, then you start saying, what can I be doing through my good financial stewardship to begin to prepare for them? And that can simply be, okay, let me get some life insurance so that if something happens, there's something left over for them. let me pay off my debts and avoid getting into unnecessary debt as a family so that no one is saddled by those burdens later down the line.
Mm.
Let me, you know, let me educate my children and my family so that they know how to manage finances well and to have the same habits as I do.
Yeah.
Because remember, you know, there's always the danger that even if you do all the hard work today and you create all the assets and you accumulate all the resources for them, they can blow it.
Yeah.
So you want to teach your family and your children about good stewardship, about tithing, about saving, about, you know, saving money for a rainy day and things of that nature. Mm. Those are the things that will allow you to you know, ensure that they're okay. So those basic things, build good financial habits for yourself and begin to apply them in your everyday life.
Yeah.
Once you build that discipline, start thinking about the future, set aside some money to ensure that you have a protected future by doing very simple things like life insurance, like having a will, like minimizing your debt, like having savings.
Yeah.
Those are the things that allow you to do that. And perhaps one final one I could throw in there is entrepreneurship. Maybe it's good for you to create or start a business so that if that business is well established over some point, it guarantees income for not only you, but for the next generation. Your children can work there.
Yeah.
Others can contribute there, and they are guaranteed, you know, a good future from a financial perspective.
Love that. Love that. And I suppose it starts, like you're saying, we don't need to have a lot of resources, just that money that you're making. Start there and start building from there. It might even get to a point where, like you're saying, you're starting a business, it grows and all that. And I love the fact that, you know, when you are not under pressure, you perhaps give yourself the longest leeway to make the necessary changes so that you can achieve exactly that in the next coming few time. As opposed to someone who's trying to build this generational wealth under pressure because they're about to die. And it just becomes a lot at that point in time. Thank you so much, sir. Really appreciate your time. I think you've shared with us quite a lot that we can think about and mull over the next coming few months of this year as we build generational wealth. May God bless you and continue to strengthen you in your work as well.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.